Current State on WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. MLive's Angela Whitrock joins Current State every Monday morning to update area business and economic news. How are you this morning?
I am fabulous and sore. How are you?
Sore from what?
I ran 10 miles yesterday.
Oh,
it was
my gosh.
Slightly ill-advised.
Wow. I know how that feels. Are you practicing for the Lansing Marathon?
I am, yes, the half marathon. Yep.
Oh, the half marathon.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm not quite that insane yet for
okay.
a full.
But you're getting there.
I'm close.
Much more affiliation with Current State, and we'll get you there. We'll lead briefly with news that broke Saturday that the Lansing School District and the Lansing Schools Education Association have apparently hammered out a tentative new contract, but nobody involved wants to get into the details yet. Is that right?
Correct. I'm told that the teachers have yet to really agree to this. They'll be asked to vote to ratify it this week, but that they weren't, you know, the majority of the teachers were not part of this process. And so, you know, there may have been an agreement reached between the folks brokering the agreement, but whether that holds with the larger teachers union remains to be seen. Of course, the timing is particularly important. They want to get this negotiated before the right to work law goes into effect at the end of this month. So there is, you know, they are in kind of a pressure cooker of a deadline situation here, so it's something that we'll all want to keep an eye on.
But it was something, there were incentives for the district here, and there were incentives for both sides here,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Yes.
Because the teachers wanted to see the contract extended, and it was and they wanted that badly enough that it was an opportunity for the district, theoretically, to cut some costs.
Right, and what I'm told is that the district did put on the table at some point in the negotiations something like a 3% pay cut for teachers each of the next 3 years.
Okay.
So there are, you know, as you said, there are incentives for both sides to work on cost savings and extending the contract. Ultimately, I think what we'll see is whether, you know, who sort of came out on top there.
Yeah. And you and I are both told, we were both told yesterday, that that'll likely be on Friday. So by the end of the week, we should know more. You and many other reporters will be at Lansing City Hall today at noon to learn all about the complete financial health team report from David Hollister's team, and this is ahead of tonight's formal presentation to the City Council. Remind us what's in this report.
Well, it's everything is in this report. All of the options for, you know, really shoring up the finances long-term for the city of Lansing. Mayor Bernero has been very proactive and very clear about the fact that he does not want to wait until Lansing faces a situation like a Detroit or a Flint or any of the other myriad financially distressed communities that end up, you know, teetering on the edge of insolvency. So he's convened this committee to give him recommendations, both short and long term, what they can do to save costs and really address the structural deficit. There's been, you know, in many cases, double-digit million-dollar deficits every year since Bernero's taken office. And that's really a symptom not of anything that he does. It's about the way that cities are funded in this state and nationally. So some of the recommendations deal with long-term costs, pension, retiree health care. Some are short-term. We expect there to be included a proposal to cut funding for police and fire, which is pretty controversial given that the citizens of Lansing just recently approved a millage to fund police and fire so that they would not suffer cuts. There are proposals for selling Lansing City Hall. There are proposals for streetlight fees. One thing that we do know is that we expect that there will be fee increases proposed in the upcoming budget to address the expected $9 million deficit. And we expect that some of these fees proposed in the financial health team report will make it into that budget. Long term, it's what Bernero's doing here is really exciting. He's sort of setting the template for what other cities can do to avoid becoming under emergency financial management. So, you know, I think people in the know and people who are nerds about municipal finance like I am are watching this to see what the implications are across the board for other cities in the state.
For cities that have been lucky enough to avoid real acute pressure up until this point, but still over the longer haul are still looking at billions with a B in shortcomings, right?
Exactly, yep.
And it appears this will get real political real quickly. You alluded to the union situation. The unions are under continuing pressure to make more concessions. Dave Hollister got into that here Friday on Current State, but there are also four city council members who are up for re-election later this year, along with Mayor Virge Bernero And there is going to be pressure here to get behind some pretty unpopular proposals.
Well, no, not really. I think that's a little bit backwards, actually, because the Mayor Barnero is he's in a strong mayor setup, which means that what he says goes until the council overrules him. There's been no way for the council to overrule what he proposes.
Okay.
They can vote against it, but then he can veto it. They don't have six votes to override his veto. So, really, he's pretty safe in this. I mean, he's likely going to walk to re-election unless we see a real powerhouse candidate come out of nowhere. And the council members really are powerless to stop anything he proposes. So I don't see there being really any fallout from anyone who opposes his recommendations or any, you know, supreme benefit for anyone who gets behind it.
All right. Meanwhile, a similar but more urgent situation is unfolding in Detroit, where we've learned that the city's prospective emergency manager, Kevin Orr, has not ruled out a municipal bankruptcy filing. How might that unfold?
Well, you know, I think it's pretty clear when Governor Snyder named Kevin Orr, who was, you know, famously helped take Chrysler through bankruptcy reorganization after the auto bailouts of 2009, that bankruptcy is on the table for Detroit. And it's really a very powerful carrot for the infrastructure that remains in Detroit to finally get serious about addressing these issues. I mean, this is something that we've seen over and over again with the government and, interest parties in Detroit, is that no one, you know, everyone seems to agree, yes, there's pressure here to change things, but no one seems to believe it's bad enough to actually reopen contracts or find ways to address long-term debt or stop borrowing money they have no hopes of repaying. You know, you saw it play out with the Belle Isle debacle. The city council didn't seem to believe that it was quite important enough to go ahead and make that sale to the state. So, you know, I think that's really like the most powerful incentive that this emergency financial manager can offer, is telling them, we can always file bankruptcy. And as he mentioned in the Free Press article this weekend, it's heavily weighted toward the municipality. So basically, we're probably going to win. So you might deal now and get something closer to what you want, or you might deal later and it's a crapshoot.
And it's so the moral of that story is, it's better to collaborate with an emergency manager and some others, mm-hmm, than it is to rely strictly on a bankruptcy judge who is really powerful in a situation like this.
Okay? Right.
As many powers as an emergency manager has, arguably a bankruptcy judge may have even more.
I mean, ultimately, yes.
Yeah. And Orr plans to take charge in a week, if I remember the timetable correctly. Right?
I think that's correct, yes.
The 25th. Back in East Lansing here, we've talked about this in previous visits. The status of the former bank building at Grand River and Abbott Road is a hot topic. A number of developers would like to have that to beef up proposals that they have submitted for that area. Has anything happened since last week?
Well, I did talk to Mr. Rapal with DTN Management. They have a large proposal in. They submitted sort of an update to the East Lansing City Council and the team that's selecting the proposals, and said, we have tried to negotiate with a Strathmore company to get these properties, haven't done it yet, but they continue to work with Strathmore to hopefully negotiate something so they can take on that bank building, which is still in foreclosure. The deadline is today at 5 p.m. For them to redeem that property. We'll be following it. You'll probably see a story go up on MLive around 6 letting you know what's happened.
Fantastic. That was a great session there. Angela Whitrock of MLive joins Current State every Monday to update area business and economic news. Thanks, Angela.
Thanks, Mark.